Welcome to Steadfast Hope. I'm Steve Lawson, joined by Kent Steinbeck, and Give Me Five and Keep Me Alive. We're coming to you from Herb's House in Dallas, Texas. In case you're wondering, it's a coffee shop here, and we do our men's Bible study here. And so it's really kind of become a base of operation for us, Kent. And we are in 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 1. Okay. So, Kent, I'm going to give you a little time to find that passage.
Fine. I'll go back.
1 Thessalonians 1, verse 1. The title of this is Called Out. And I want to begin by reading the passage, and then, Kent, we'll take a careful look at it. Paul writes, to begin the book of 1 Thessalonians, Paul and Silvanus and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. Kent, what really leaps off the page at me with this is this word church. You and I are a part of a new church plant, and it's so exciting and exhilarating for us. And the word church means the called out ones. It means that we are those who have been called out of the world into the kingdom of God. We have been called out of darkness and into light. And that's what the church is. We are set apart from this evil world system to worship the one true living God through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the church is not the building. The church is the people who have been called out of the world. And the building is really where the church meets. And so sometimes we say, well, I'm going to church. And I say that all the time. But in reality, whenever I'm with other believers is when I'm going to church. And we just meet in a building or in a facility. But we are the called out ones. And so that's how Paul begins by addressing the believers there in Thessalonica. They are the church. They are the called out ones. Now, this book begins with three names, Paul and Silvanus and Timothy. And Ken, it's really worth noting this, that even Paul, who was the greatest Christian, arguably, who ever lived, he needed people around him to be a part of the ministry and to be a part of the work. And we're reminded here that ministry is a team sport. It's not that we serve the Lord solo. We're a part of the body of Christ. And no one has all the gifts. And no one has all of the abilities. And so we just stand shoulder to shoulder with other believers and exercise our gifts in the place where the Lord has positioned us. And so we see this here even with Paul. And as our listeners are with us and watching this, Kent, I just want to remind our listeners the value of being in the church and serving the Lord alongside other believers. We need to be plugged into a fellowship of believers. And he says that the church of the Thessalonians, he says, are in God the Father. That means they are in vital spiritual union with God the Father. They have a saving relationship with God the Father. They know God experientially in their heart of heart. And they have communion with God, and they walk with God, and they worship God. And so that is the mark of the church. We're not a social club. I mean, we're not a religious club. We are a gathering of believers who are in God the Father, and therefore we have fellowship with other believers who are in God the Father. So we hold him in common, and Paul adds here, and the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only way that we can know God the Father is through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this really stresses the equality of the Son with the Father, of same essence, and to receive the same worship. And then he adds at the end, grace to you and peace. And this is what we would desire for every believer, that God's grace would be multiplied to them in their lives. They already have saving grace, and he's expressing the desire that they would have strengthening grace and sanctifying grace as they serve the Lord. And the result of having grace is peace. And so if you want more peace in your heart, and this is referred to the subjective calm that only God can give a heart, and contentment, then you must have more grace in order to have greater peace. So, Kent, we're a part of the same church. You and I worship together at the same local church, and we are a part of the called out ones. And I guess one thing that is strange to me is why so many churches would want to be as much like the world as they can possibly be, when the fact is we've been called out of the evil world system to be as much like heaven as we could possibly be. So, Ken, I need to toss the ball over to you.
Well, I'm just thinking that what a blessing it is to be in a church, and that God says we need to be in a church. And I realize, too, there's people that are listening, Steve, that for one reason or another, they're either confined or they're sick or they're somewhere by themselves where they can't get to a church. Yeah. That's rare.
Yeah.
But for the most part, we do have access to a church. Now, can you explain to me, and I see this more and more, how is it that a person that is born again believes that they can just stay home? Where do they come up with they can just stay home? They don't need to attend a church because the church is has problems or whatever it is, and so they decide to stay home. How misguided is that for a believer, and what are they missing by doing that? Because I see it more and more. I go, where do you go to church? Well, I don't go. I stay home. And I'm like, I don't understand that.
Yeah, Kent, you put your finger on a live nerve there. The New Testament knows nothing of a so-called believer who is not a part of a local church. And to be isolated from the church really calls into question, are you isolated from the Lord? Because the Lord is the head of the church, and the church is the body of Christ. And if you're not regularly worshiping in a church, that really does call into question, I think, even your salvation.
So our Lord knows we need that.
That's absolutely
what he's saying. It's like we have to have that, like food for our body.
Right. And Kent, you and I hear a lot of people are waiting for a perfect church.
Yeah.
Well, as soon as they join it, it would no longer be perfect because they would bring their own imperfections.
Right.
Now, I realize there are a lot of churches that don't preach the Bible, that are shallow and superficial and carnal. And so I would say, well, then you need to go find a church that is as true to the Word of God as sinful beings could be. Or if it's possible for you to move or get in your car and drive some distance, but you need to do whatever is necessary to be plugged into a local church. And that's God's design for living a healthy Christian life. And God never designed the Christian life to be a Lone Ranger Christianity, that we need one another in the body of Christ. And Kent, I need you. You need me. Mm-hmm. We need other believers who are in our church to worship the Lord, to serve the Lord together. And so the Bible knows nothing of a true believer who is not a part of a vital local assembly of Christians.
Yeah, and so I guess what I'm saying is I know people, and I think our viewing audience says we know people that do have access to a church.
Yeah.
That can go to a good church, and they call themselves Christians and they stay home. That's the danger. There are people, as we said, and I don't want our viewers to misunderstand, that maybe there's extenuating circumstances that you can't get to a church. And we have the internet now. We have the ability to watch church, to be a part of a church if you have that. But there's something in here, as you say, that we miss that's vital if we're just not hanging around with other believers.
I totally agree with you, Kent. And I'll take it a step further. I think there is a unique dynamic to be under the live preaching of the Word of God that happens in the moment as other believers are there. And Kent, I know as I stand up to preach, one factor is who's sitting there, and that has an effect on me even as I stand to preach. As opposed to I'm just in a sound booth preaching into a camera.
That's interesting. Yeah.
And the same is true for the listener. I mean, it's one dynamic to just listen to a podcast, but it takes it to a whole higher level for you to be on site, boots on the ground, in a church with other believers, and for the Word of God to be coming with a dynamic.
So we don't even need to necessarily say anything. We do, but just the fact we're together, we're shoulder to shoulder, we're singing together, we're listening together, that alone has some unique effect to our spiritual life.
It does, Kent. And I'm also going to say it puts you in a position to encourage others, to minister to others, to go up to others. How can I pray for you? How are things going? It is so stinking selfish to not come to church because you're just a taker but not a giver. You need to go to church so you can be a giver. And put your shoulder to the plow and help serve the Lord with others and minister to others.
Yeah, so that's a good point. We don't necessarily go to church to grade the preacher, right? We go to give.
Absolutely.
And to worship.
Absolutely.
I like that. Yeah.
Worshipers are givers.
Good point. Great point.
Well, so much more. I'd love to talk about this, but our time is past. And so thank you for joining us in this session of Steadfast Hope. I trust this will be a challenge and a motivation to you to be plugged into church on the Lord's Day. Well, God bless you. Thank you for joining us for Steadfast Hope.